Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
From the deer stand to the bass boat and everywhere in between, Hunter's Hollow has all you need. Firearms, ammo, bows, fishing rods, and more. The latest in gear and accessories, plus Thunder Hollow Indoor Gun Range. Hunter's Hollow, Highway 6 West, between Oxford and Batesville. Online, huntershollow.com.
What's up? Welcome in on this Sunday night. You survived. You survived the last week without football until February. You made it. We're here. Congratulations. I am one of those people, like the overwhelming majority of you, that I just love everything about not only football season, right? We all love football season, but the buildup to it is just something that I am obsessed with. Saints training camp videos, I watch them all. I'm listening to everything that Nick Underhill has to say, for example, about that team. I can't get enough of it. And now it is finally here in the state of Mississippi. Ole Miss begins training camp this week. The players, by the time 99% of you are listening to this, report, quote unquote report. I know most of them are already there, but they report today. For those of you listening on Monday, which again is like 99% of you, players are back and training camp is here, and I could not be more excited. Even when you're going into seasons where, look, I've lived in Mississippi for, this is year 16 for me, and been either talking about or covering Ole Miss for money for 12 years. And there have been some years where the team was not expected to be particularly good, and it doesn't matter to me. There's real, actual football to talk about, and I'm so glad to do it. I'm going to give you guys tonight just a quick look at like what the media schedule is going to be for Ole Miss, like when press conferences are going to happen and stuff like that, because there's not going to be any fan viewing, at least based on the email they put out. There's going to be no open scrimmages or anything like that. All practices, they say, are closed to the public. So you guys aren't going to get that opportunity. That is very common in college sports. I wish it was not. This is not an Ole Miss thing. This is for everybody. I think that if the NFL allows fans to go to training camp and they are worth billions of dollars, I think you can allow fans at training camp as well, at least for a practice or two. Have an open practice, have a fan day where they get to see the guys run around with helmets on and stuff. I wish that was a thing, but in college, it's just not a thing the way that it is in the NFL, and disappointed about that. So even though you're not going to get that, you're going to get to hear from players, and there's going to be practice video and stuff. So I'll give you a quick rundown of what that's going to look like. And then we'll talk about it a little bit. What can we learn from Ole Miss training camp before the season actually begins? Quite frankly, I don't think it's a whole lot. So we will do that and more on this edition of the podcast. Hi, June. You want to make an appearance here? Let's see. Come here, sweetie. Come here, sweetie. You want to say hello to the people? Come here. That's June. She says hi. Our little three-legged British lab. I don't know why. I don't know why she's moving around. She usually just lays right next to me, but she says hi. I don't know what that was, but she's a good girl, and I'm glad that you guys are here. I am shameless. I'm shameless. I will use dogs for likes. I will. But I'm glad you're here. My name, of course, is Michael Borky. Please subscribe. You want to leave, honey? Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. In or out, honey? Pick one. In or out? There she goes. Wherever you get your podcast, and also right here on YouTube, just leave a like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. This edition of the show is presented by Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got, and I am quite literal when I say everything that you need under one roof for inside of your home, if you're doing home improvement projects or need appliances or anything like that. They've got a great selection of clothes as well for adults all the way down to kids, boys and girls. They've got a great boot selection. That even the fishing aisles are great. Animal feed and more outside of your home for your lawn, for your garden, for your hunting property, the deer camp, the fishing camp, just the land. and for your farm. They've got you covered, and they've also got 0% on America's tractor, the John Deere. Zero-turn mowers, 0%, 36 months. Five-series tractors, 0%, 84 months. Commercial mowers, you guessed it, 0%, 36 months. Compact tractors, what do you know? 0%, 72 months. And even the Gator, which is not technically a tractor, just 1.9% for 36 months. They've got all of those for you at Scruggs, just a short drive from Oxford to Scruggs, and they are great people. That they know and understand you because they are you, that they're Mississippians, and they will take care of you, and they're quality people. Just don't forget to tell them that it was me that sent you there. That will help me a ton if you do that. So go by and see them and tell them that it was me that sent you there. Okay, so training camp's happening this week. Players are reporting on Monday. I don't know if Ole Miss wants me to share this in detail or not, but I mean, the press conference is going to happen. I don't think they particularly mind. So Thursday is going to be the first media viewing period, so you'll get practice videos and all that stuff. And then they're having media day. I would be there, but Hey Dad is off, and so I can't. I wish I could. Media day is at 2 o'clock. If Hey Dad was there, then I'd be able to go to media day and just like send the interviews down to the studio and they could get played. But it's just, there's just too much moving parts right now this week, especially with Hey Dad being out every day but Tuesday of this week. So I can't be there, but there will be plenty. I mean, it'll be Pete Golding's first press conference of training camp. Again, you will get practice videos. There's going to be players that are available. So that's really good and exciting. So that's Thursday. On Monday the 10th, John David Baker, you'll get to hear from him the one and only time this season. I am trying to get him. I have asked for him for our Not Fall Camp Tour a week later in Oxford. Hopefully that happens. We shall see. I'll tell you guys more information about that when the time comes. Please join us. I would love to see you guys, and we have a lot of good stuff coming your way that day. But anyway, yes, Monday the 10th is when you're going to get to hear from John David Baker. 2 days later, you'll have practice periods and then players. Thursday the 18th, Brian Brown, the defensive coordinator, even though Pete's calling the defense still, you get to hear from him the one and only time this year, I believe. And then Friday, August 21st, select media viewing, and then defensive players. And that is it. So there are five press conference slash media viewing periods for all training camp, this training camp. That is it. And so that leads me into the next conversation is, what can we actually learn about this team in training camp? Now, the people that cover the team from a beat perspective, they're going to ask and they're going to get sources and they're going to try to figure out what's going on. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to try my best. But since people aren't going to be able to see it, and look, I'm going to go to the viewing periods that I can go to, even though, you know, we're based in Jackson, obviously. And you'll get to see some things, but not a whole lot. And you'll hear things, but I think all of it needs to be taken with a grain of salt when it comes to this training camp, because there is really not a whole lot that's going to be able to be seen. There are people that get reliable information, and that's good and that's important. And again, I will do the same, and we'll talk about it for the next month leading into the season. And that'll be a lot of fun. And I'm excited about that. But, and on top of it all, I think from my perspective, the things that, I have questions about this team, or the things that I want to learn or want to know about this team, I don't think that we can get real answers until they play real competition. And luckily, you only have to wait until week one, because Louisville's real competition. That'll be a preseason top 25 team, I think. If not, that they'll be very close. It's a power opponent with talent, and they're well coached. It's a stable, solid program. But like, I have questions about offensive tackle. Not necessarily who it's going to be, because I think right now they only really have two options to play tackle anyway. But are they good enough? And then, you know, I guess we'll hear throughout camp some guys that are, you know, maybe some of this freshman class, although one just got into legal trouble. Maybe, you know, one of them is going to be able to provide some rotational depth at tackle, or because they have so much depth on the interior, well, you know, Patrick Kudus be able to slide outside and help at tackle if he needs to. But how good they are, how adequate they are, we're not going to know during training camp what that position is like until they play Louisville. You know, there's no way of knowing for sure. Same thing with John David Baker. I mean, those are my two biggest unknowns with this team, because while John David Baker had really good offenses at ECU, really good. And if you listen to my interview with Trinidad, and even if you didn't listen to that, if you heard Trinidad talk at Media Days, and if you hear Pete Golding talk about him, it's that there is really not a whole lot of change within the offense. It's somebody that is a disciple of that system anyway, to a degree. And he's bringing some other outside influences to help. I mean, the offense is not going to be literally identical, but there's really not a whole lot of changes. And he's done it on his own, which should be really encouraging. But still, East Carolina and the American Conference and the SEC are totally different competition levels. And we won't know if he's able to be a quality play caller at this level until we get to see it. There's nothing about what happens at training camp that will give us an indication one way or another that, you know, he's quote unquote ready for this until they actually see real competition, and that'll be week one. So the two biggest questions I have about this team are ones that we're not going to know, and there will not be an answer. And frankly, I'm not going to entertain the answer to either one of those until that actually happens. You know, we can learn things about the wide receiver position. We can learn things about depth, especially at linebacker. I do think that linebacker depth is an area to kind of circle and underline. There's a couple of transfers that either did not participate in the spring because of injury that, you know, you hope are back healthy and looking like the player that you thought they would be, or maybe didn't have the best spring and you know their talent ceiling's higher than what they did in the spring. So, you know, those kind of things, of course, are important, but very little media viewing and very little to take away until they play real competition. We'll still talk. Things will happen. They'll have press conferences, and there will be things that we can learn from those, and I will cut those up and play those for you, and we'll have fun with that. I'm really looking forward to that. But I do – I'm going to have to remind myself. I'm mostly talking to myself here. I'm going to have to remind myself to – like look back on what I'm saying right now and remember that, you know, that this is going to be pretty locked down, and I don't think they're going to let a whole lot of information get out from this camp either. So everything you hear, just take it with a grain of salt. And that includes from me. What you hear from me is the same, just like I would say that about literally everybody else that is talking about the team in this training camp. It's just the nature of it. I do wish that you guys got to see more, but, you know, at least you're getting something. So there you go. Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, anywhere in Mississippi. I mean, anywhere in Mississippi. Logan Smith and his team at Shelter have got you covered for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or if your business needs it, they've got you anywhere in Mississippi. Give them a call, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. Tell them it was me that sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority. There's 16 locations in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one near you in your backyard. Local loan servicing and decision-making is outstanding. Online banking platform, top-notch. It's in the name. They make you their priority. They will do to you what they do to me. Priority One Bank. Bank with me there at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs, absms.com. All caps, is officially football month. Yes, it is. Hall of Fame game. So Ole Miss will have media day on Thursday. So our Thursday podcast will be heavy into that, which will be great. But that's also Hall of Fame game night. That's Hall of Fame game night. We are here. And I forget who's playing, actually, in the Hall of Fame game. I forgot. Cardinals and Panthers. Sure, why not? I'll put it on. I'll watch the first quarter. The next three, when it's the Uber drivers, I will not be watching. By the way, nothing wrong with being an Uber driver. A listener to the radio show got offended when I referred to third stringers in the NFL as Uber drivers. And I thought, man, there's nothing wrong with that. You got to do what you got to do. But anyway, it's football time. Yes, it is. So with the 22 ruling, can you imagine if they get Xavier Harris back? Saw some things earlier today saying might see some of it with players in camp. We could get him back. Well, I wouldn't count on that for a lot of reasons, actually. It's going to be really, really hard to get good football players back for a lot of reasons. Now, one, the most important thing is you might not have seen that Arian Carter from Tennessee is suspended for the first two games of the season because he declared for the draft. He had an agent buy one flight for him valued at $427, and he paid it back, and they still suspended him for two games, and it is upheld on appeal. You could probably take that to court and win, but by the time that could be heard, Tennessee already appealed it. They got it appealed down from three games to two. So you would have to deal with that, because if you're talking about Xavier Harris in particular, there is a 100% chance that he has not only went through the draft process, but has had agents now start providing him things when it comes to the NFL, which somehow, some way, they can have agents to sign NIL deals, but if an agent talks to an NFL team, it's somehow, it makes no sense. But they did just suspend a Tennessee player two games for one flight. Xavier Harris has gotten more than one flight. He is getting paid by an NFL team right now, currently. Like, he is on an NFL team today. Like, he has signed a contract with an NFL team. And so I don't know how, because the ruling did not give like a protection on a violation of NCAA rules when it comes to that part. It didn't give them immunity for that. And so that it was clarified today, actually, that all it did was provide the extra year for 2022 players. That's why you're seeing a lot of conversation about baseball right now, because that's, you can manage that a little bit better. But a guy like Xavier Harris is still on the Saints, and he's got a really good chance to make that team. And so from Ole Miss's perspective, you can't even think about doing anything to try to get that player to come back. And even if you could, even if it was like an early cut, you would still have to deal with the NCAA. And there's no guarantee he'd be eligible to play anyway, because, again, Arian Carter is going to miss two games. He's going to miss two games. So you would have to deal with that. And then you got to find the money. And then what happens if a player got cut like back in mini camps and hasn't taken care of his body? There's just so much that has to be done in order to try to pull that off. And Xavier Harris has a real chance at making the team anyway. And even if he doesn't, I mean, that guy, he'll be on a practice squad or something like that. That, I mean, you would get him back, a few days before the first game, and you're not even sure if you'd be able to clear him with the NCAA. That's just, it's too messy. I don't think there's going to be that many football players that find their way back onto the football field. Now, it's happening in basketball. It certainly, I think, will happen in baseball, but it's probably going to be few and far between when it comes to football players. Maybe I'm wrong. I very well could be. I don't foresee a path to get a guy that is fighting for a roster spot and very well could end up on a practice squad that has already gotten paid by an NFL team to find his way back into college. That seems really, really messy and complicated, and I don't know if they're going to be able to I don't know if very many people are going to be able to pull that off. Maybe we'll spend a month talking about this, or forgive me if you're bearing the lead. If you set the over-under win total for Ole Miss at 9.5, are you picking the over or the under? I think my current prediction is 9-3. That is my current record prediction. I know. I'm supposed to tell you that they're going to win the national championship and all that, but I think the schedule is a lot more difficult than last season's because it is. Now, I really like a lot of what they have. I think defensively they're going to be a lot better, but schedule is a lot more difficult. And there are some questions, and they can certainly be answered. I think there's a high likelihood that they'll be answered in the affirmative, but I'm going to err on the side of caution until proven otherwise. Way too early. Super Bowl prediction, Rams, Bills. I think the Rams are going to find their way back, yeah. Josh Allen needs to win at some point. Is it true that Furness and Uniemark are coming back for one more year? The second that dropped, the rumor started flying about Furness trying to get back and working his way back. I don't know about Uniemark, but I think both of them would be wise to try to figure out how to get back into college baseball. I don't think either one of them, they're already not playing in the minors right now, right? It's a shame that Bissett signed an undrafted free agent deal because you'd be talking about him too. But they have to probably jump through a couple of hoops just to make sure that it all works out. And the NCAA is going to appeal this ruling, and there's roster issues they got to deal with and stuff like that. But the rumors are that it is being worked on. Whew, sorry. My eyes are dry as can be. What jersey do you think they wear against Louisville, and why is it powder blue? I think powder top, red jersey, gray pants is what they're going to go with. Fun question for you. If you had to choose a color rush style for the football team, what would it be? All red, navy, or baby blue? Okay, so you've already seen an all navy Ole Miss uniform. You've already seen that. And I honestly, I don't think they were bad. I wouldn't wear them again, like ever. But I didn't hate them. I never want to see a red helmet, so all red is out. Probably all powder. All navy or all powder. But I didn't really hate the all navy uniforms. I really didn't like. I didn't despise them the way I thought. Love the powder blue. Hearing we'll see navy, red, and gray more. Oh yeah, I mean because they got so far away, they stopped looking like Ole Miss. You know, especially the road uniform with the white with the powder stripes and all that and the. They stopped looking like Ole Miss. They need to go back to looking like Ole Miss. I am all for, you know, trying some alternate uniform concepts. I think the powder blue helmets and tops look great. I think that they have overworn that color. And again, I think it's a great color. And the history behind it is awesome. But under Lane, they took it too far and stopped looking like themselves. And they need to get back to looking like themselves. The white helmets with the red stripe and the red letters need to be gone forever, just completely gone forever. Never bring those back. The road uniforms of powder white with red and then the gray pants, that was an outstanding look. If Ohio State and Michigan aren't too good for alternate uniforms, you aren't either. But when the alternate becomes the permanent, you've made a mistake. If you haven't seen Spider-Man Brand New Day yet, you've got to go see it when you can. It's the best superhero movie of all time. Well, I guess we now have something we need to go do next weekend, huh? Odds the new Spider-Man movie is insanely good. Well, good. Or second that, the new Spider-Man movie is insanely good. And then odds are Eli Manning doesn't get selected in the Hall of Fame in the next 2 years. Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady will each go and be the headlines. Then he will probably go in. I bet Eli gets in next year. I would bet on that. Good to see you. You want to see the all grays come back? Oh, I don't know if you'll ever see those again. Can I ask why you don't want to see a red helmet? I honestly hate saying things without being able to back them up, but like Arizona has an all red, and I think it just kind of makes me uncomfortable. I don't like uniforms that are all the same color top to bottom. And I just said that I didn't hate the Ole Miss all navy, but I would never wear that ever. I just didn't despise it. But like, I don't think one color for the entire uniform is the right look. Something's got to be different. I mean, even like I love the Saints uniforms, although they've completely gone away from the gold that the franchise was initially, and that was a better gold. But the black pants, black tops, and gold helmet, that makes sense. I like that it's broken up a little bit. So that's all. I love a real tree style red helmet. Maybe that's coming. I don't know. That was not me dropping a hint. I have no idea. Did you see where Brooks Austin kind of hinted at Joe Judge being more involved in play calling than people might think? I mean, I don't know exactly what he was doing. Okay. I don't know. But I do know that I made it a point in the playoff games to watch Joe Judge, especially in the Sugar Bowl, because I had a great look at the Ole Miss sideline in the Sugar Bowl in particular. And he is super involved and super active. And I don't know if that means he's helping play calling the offense. I think it's more of like a game management type thing. But he's very clearly involved a lot. He's not just wearing a headset with a microphone up, listening and coaching his position. Like, he's very involved. And I know it didn't go well for him in New York, but when you've got an NFL head coach having those kind of game day responsibilities, it's huge. His not only his experience, but having that, you have an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, and then like the coordinator, like the game coordinator, all mixed into one. It worked really well. And I mean, like the end of half in the Sugar Bowl, Daquan Wright should have run out of bounds, and I promise you he was told to. Like, I promise. Like, they managed the games really well. I can't remember a time where there was a hesitation on things like when to punt, when to kick a field goal, when to call timeouts. Maybe there was. I don't remember if there was ever a time where those teams under Pete Golding hesitated in decision making. And you look around with young head coaches. I mean, Jeff Lebby in year two was still really struggling, really, really, really struggling with basic game management things. And it cost Mississippi State games last year. That should have been a 7 or even 8 win Mississippi State team last year. But they managed themselves out of these games, and it was the head coach that was doing that. And again, it was only 3 games, but I just simply do not remember a time where it looked like Ole Miss was having trouble making a decision. Everything was quick. Everything was fast and fluid, and they had an injured quarterback in the first game, and they had, you know, field goal or go for it decisions in the second game, and they had timeout management stuff, and it was just all fluid and all really well done. And so that should be really encouraging for you moving forward, as you had a sideline that was prepared for those moments, even though they really had no time to prepare to, you know, have those moments. But yeah. Let's talk position groups, most improved group on paper versus the group on paper with the most questions. Offensive tackle, that's the free space. So let's just get away from that with the questions. Position with the edge. Because I guess Perkins technically counts as an edge, but not really. But you've got Cam Franklin and a lot of unproven at edge. So that's one that I'm watching closely. On paper, there's a lot of talent with Purchase and Renaud and Maldonado, and apparently there's freshman coming in that's ready to, you know, really help them and play a lot. So that's a good thing. But that's one to keep an eye on. Linebacker depth is one to keep an eye on. Wide receivers, one to keep an eye on. I know people are really talking about Horatio Fields and Jonte Cook, and I mean, on paper, they should be really good, but we haven't seen them do it in an Ole Miss uniform yet. I just mentioned linebacker depth. Most improved position, though, I think will be linebacker. Linebacker and safety. I think they'll be much better at safety this year than they were last year. Much, much, much better at safety. Judge was as plugged into the game as Pete was in the Sugar Bowl. Yeah, I mean, Pete talked about, you know, what that role is. I don't remember the quote verbatim, but it was essentially like, you know, you got the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and then the game coordinator. And I thought it was the way he described it was really interesting, where having Judge, you know, making those kind of decisions allows the coordinators to not have to think more than play calling. And it all like balanced and worked really, really well. They didn't step on each other's toes, and it worked out. It worked out really nicely. Obviously, it worked out really nicely. Don't know why, but you're really nervous about wide receiver. I think the on-paper talent is there. The on-paper talent is absolutely there. People kept – don't sleep on the pickup that Horatio Fields was. That was a big one at the time. But, I mean, they need Daryl Gill to step up. They need Caleb Cunningham to have a role. But, I mean, you've got Deuce. You've got Jonte Cook. You've got Caleb Odom, which will be more of like a receiver than a tight end. So there's a lot to like, but – not much proven in an Ole Miss uniform anyway, but I think they'll be okay. I really do. But I think it's time for me to go to bed. I really appreciate you guys being here as you always are. Thank you for tuning in and making the podcast a part of your day. Wherever you are, I will see you on Tuesday night. So I'll be in Hattiesburg, but I'll be back in time on Tuesday for the podcast on Tuesday night. So I will see you on Tuesday night. Hayda and I will be there for the Not Fall Camp Tour. First leg will be at Southern Miss. And, but again, I'll be back in time for the podcast. So I'll see you guys. I'll see you then. You guys have a good rest of your weekend.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.